cold, far away world. A battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars, they came here to Earth. Caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors.
Perceptor here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, did you take the chorus stop?
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to another episode of Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. I am your host, Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Megamus.
Hello.
Plasticon.
Hey, guys. Yeah, another week.
Headmaster Don.
What's up, everybody?
And Verice.
G'day.
And also joining us, last week he was a special guest, and this week I'll announce him as a semi-regular on the crew now. He's been added to the cast of TFYLP. Hingyup Chan, welcome to TFYLP, and welcome to the cast.
Yay! Yeah, thank you, and welcome to the world of tomorrow, because it's Saturday for me again.
Yeah. Well, and that's what makes it great to have you on the show, because you get to see the future for us, and you have this crystal ball.
Well, the world hasn't ended. That's all we need to know at this point.
Well, this is episode 121, and our date is Friday, September 12th, 2014. Tonight's episode, we're wrapping up. If you joined us last week, we talked about Yusha Brave series. That was part one of two. This is part two.
Of two.
Yes, of two. And we're talking about the Brave series, its relationship to Transformers, its importance in the history of Robot Mecha, and just how downright cool it is. And, you know, a lot of people have heard about Brave throughout the years. I admit I was one of them. I've heard many people talk about Braves. I've even seen them at BotCons and other conventions that I've went to. And up until about 2 years ago, I didn't know what they were, didn't care. It didn't have an Autobot or a Decepticon insignia on it, so I didn't care. Well, what made me care was a couple years ago in Saint Galvatron, he picked up Captain Shark from Goldron. And I got to mess around with it, and it was very G1-like. I felt like I was playing with a G1 figure for the very first time that I'd never seen before. That's what I felt like. And then he got Shadow Maru, and that is a retool and redeco of Six Shot. Absolutely, yes. Absolutely fantastic redeco. I mean, he's got katanas. He's got a little pistol, and it's Six Shot. I mean, it's a Six Shot mold. So awesome. And so it got me to delving in deeper into the Brave series, and I got a little more involved, and I bought my very first personal one, which was Mike Gain from the Brave Express Mike Gain series. And I was blown away. I mean, it's a locomotive. It's a brick, and it looks like Optimus Prime wearing a conductor helmet. Or a conductor hat. I mean, he's just way cool, and that hooked me hook, line, and sinker. And I found out that a lot of the large main robots in the Brave series, they can combine together. They're all almost all of them are combiners in some form or fashion, and they can combine together with another large robot that's just as big or bigger to make this gigantic robot. And it's just if you're a G1 fan, it really goes right down your alley. But before we move on and talk about some things, I want to sidetrack and announce that this coming Thursday night, on our YouTube channel, this very YouTube channel, if you're watching us on YouTube, will be the very first episode of Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure Newsstand, TFYLP Newsstand, and it will be hosted by I Am Unicron and Insane Galvatron. TFYLP Newsstand will be a show that is dedicated to the comics and news media print within the Transformers realm. So if you're a big fan of the comics, check out those guys, give them your support, and share and tell people about it. We want to spread the word and get it and get people watching that show. And it will air every Thursday night at about 9 o'clock, I believe, is what the time they're planning on doing it. And the audio download will be available in this podcast feed. I'm trying to figure out where that echo is coming from. I don't know where, but it will be available in this podcast feed, in the RSS feed for this podcast, and it will be entitled TFYLP Newsstand. So it will be available to download if you see it in there, or it will automatically download if you so choose to do it that way. So check out TFYLP Newsstand this coming week on Thursday. I believe it's September. What date is next Thursday? September 18th, I believe. So check it out then. Also, Plasticon, he had a video that he posted up. I believe it was yesterday. It was a World of Warcraft commercial, I guess, and it's quite humorous. So if you want to see it, check it out on YouTube. It's pretty awesome. You also had something else that you wanted to show us, didn't you, Plasticon?
Yes, I do. I have a friend of mine that had purchased a custom I did, and this custom is now on eBay for you guys out there. If you guys are actually wanting to get hold of it, he's basically trying to save up money because he's wanting another figure, and he figured, you know, in store instead of being one of those guys out there that, you know, just gets rid of random stuff, you figure he'd sell like a piece of artwork. And I'm going to share you guys. This is the actual auction that he has up for it currently. It's basically, it's the knockoff Star Saber that I did, where I completely tore down, repainted the parts. He has repro labeled this one as well to make it even more authentic. But all the paint apps and everything, I'm pretty much hand paint. And if I'm not mistaken, that one was one of the ones that I did hand paint. I think the last one I did, I didn't actually spray it. But this one here currently I do have in my hand. This is my prototype that I did, the very first one. I will have a full-on review of this thing up probably within the next couple days. And there is a lot of detail and stuff on this. These are not stickers. This is all paint applications. Just letting any of you guys out there that are interested, there is a knockoff Star Saber you guys can buy for roughly around 60 to 70 bucks. And it's yellow. It's got the colors are completely wrong. And I rip these down to the bare pieces and completely do a custom. The other thing I do want to point out, though, is I actually even go a little further on the little Brain Master, and I actually give the Brain Master a lot of detail, which is something a lot of guys out there really enjoy about the custom I actually do. So it does match what the main center robot looks like before it's actually in the powered suit. So it looks really, really good. Quite a few people have been very happy with this. I got a couple other friends of mine that actually got hold of this custom as well, and they love it. Just letting you guys know that there is one up for grabs on eBay. He has the link. I actually put the link in our Facebook group. So if you guys want to go check it out, there it is. So that way it's easy access for you guys. And you guys have fun trying to get hold of this bot. And if any of you guys out there are interested in any of my customs, please let me know. You guys can contact me through Facebook or primarily Facebook. I wouldn't try to tweet me or anything because Twitter is a little hard for me to keep up with. But I would primarily just send me a personal PM. And the other thing I do want to mention, Ben's Collectibles did mention this toy. I do the modification to his legs, so his legs do fold in. There's a lot of people out there, you know, that complain because his legs will not fold in. His legs will fold in fully, so that way he will fit into the jet. and I do fix his arms, so that way his arms aren't so tight so they break. So there are little bits that I do fix. So that's my little spill. Have at it, Wolf.
Come here.
If he's awake. He's not awake. He's too busy typing.
Come here.
Come up, old man.
Massey attack again.
Oh, God.
Now, there's you also been...
No, he's just being a little butt tonight.
There's also been some news that's popped up here in the last day or so about Fans Project Core. Megamus, did you want to talk about that a little bit?
let me see if I can get my email going. I got an email, I think most of us did today, from Fans Project Core. Let's see here. Good old Yahoo taking forever. And let's see here. Let me get a screenshot of this here. There we go. So there we go. We got the, you can see in the background there, we got the trailer. And they have a new membership, a premium core membership. Production of the core 1 year membership. Can't remember if it says how much it is, though. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, $179, I think, is what it said.
Well, there's two. There's one that's $69, which is the trailer and the membership. And the other one is $179, which I've been told is includes Steel Core, the trailer, and the membership. Because I checked on Twitter when I saw that on lunch with Barricade 64, and he said that was the difference between them. And so they were talking about doing a reissue of Steel Core because he did so well for them. So they're just making the reissue a part of the trailer launch as well, which makes sense.
I'm looking at it. It says, it says Steel Core trailer with bonus membership bundle $64.99. That includes 1 year of premium membership. Then they have the Steel Core trailer deluxe for $175. And that one is the one that includes the Steel Core figure. So what you're saying is they were talking about doing a second run, but instead they're going to do this? Is that what you were saying?
Well, I'm saying that they've been talking about getting another run of the Steel Core out for some time. I mean, even before
Assaulter.
Even before Assaulter was out and sold out, they were talking about doing another Steel Core run. And it's nice to see them actually finally be able to do that. We saw pictures of this trailer in early CGI form 2 years ago. So, you know, it's been coming for a while. From what we can tell, the trailer looks pretty good. And with the premium membership, you're supposed to be getting three Fans Project Core exclusives about one every quarter.
So it's basically like the subscription service, only third party.
Right. And,
with good figures.
And I'm also guessing because they've shown other cores in different colors, so I'm guessing that you'll be able to switch out your cores between Assaulter, not Assaulter, between Steel Core and
Roadbuster.
Yeah, not Roadbuster. Roadbuster. So I'm looking forward to this. I'm hoping I'll be able to get the trailer for my Steel Core.
Now, what's so special about Steel Core? Is he like a third-party answer to Power Masters, or?
Well, no, he was just, he's a standalone figure.
Yeah,
he's not supposed to represent anybody.
Right.
Well, that's the crazy thing about it. There really wasn't any lore or anything behind him, but he was designed almost in the Power Master aesthetic, but it is kind of its own character versus it being Optimus Prime or being Ultra right. Magnus or any yeah. of that, which you know, I think it's awesome. I love the idea that they did that. I really wish they would jump on more stuff like that versus, oh, we got to do something to homage or something. If they now, did this and they went, you know, balls out crazy and did a bunch of these, I'm sure a lot of people would support it because right. a lot of people like Steel Corps.
Yeah. It's
a very well built robot.
It is. And
yeah, but I think too much of a good thing also. I think if they start making too many of them, start puking them out, then it's going to lose its originality and its flavor. You know, it'll go sour.
Yeah, I think
how they're doing it's pretty good. Now, you know, I mean, how long did you say? 2 years? A year? 2 years since we saw the
picture
of the trailer? I mean, yeah, speed it up a little bit, but yeah, I wouldn't be shooting. I think putting one out every 3 months is a little gets a little much.
Well, you know, like I said, you know, the ones that they're going to be sending with the membership are probably the multicolored cores. You know, I've seen them in yellow, the blue that came with him. They've got a picture of the one in red. So you'd be able to switch out your cores with your other two characters. But, you know, that you could say with the addition of the trailer, you know, that is their universe as Ultra Magnus. You know, that's repurposing the character, the figure, if you want to do that. But it does look very nice with the trailer. And the trailer does hold the other core characters.
Well, this is a really, really, really good question I got. Me as a Generation 1 collector, if I was to buy that guy, is that core, would that actually fit in a Power Master slot?
No, the transmission is completely... Yeah, it's more horizontal than it is square.
Okay. Because that's a good question. I mean, because I like to ask questions like that because sometimes when they do these homages, like, you know, just take the Glacial Bots, for instance. Are the weapons able to, you know, backward compatible, plug in the other things and stuff like that? Those are questions that some of these guys want to know because the whole reason why a lot of us guys that do collect, we collect it so we can, you know, mishmash stuff and do stuff like that and smash rolls up here and make something crazy out of it, you know? That's kind of the whole point. So I was just wondering if that would actually work or not.
Yeah, with the core project, it's a completely different transformation than the Power Masters, and it winds up being almost like a T with the way the chest works. So, you know,
it kind of has a square plug on the back of it that goes into the chest.
Yeah. So I mean, it's definitely a Power Master homage, but completely different transformation. But I will say that I do have Steel Corps. If anyone has been thinking about this figure, the reissue, the figure was originally about $90 before shipping, give or take. This is $170, and you'll be getting the trailer, the figure, and the other core members, if that's what the exclusives are. So if you want a good, solid third-party product and you've never bought one before, this would be a good one to try it out.
Yeah, I actually think he's really, really awesome because his articulation and such. I mean, he's a beautiful looking robot. I mean, they went all out with the design.
Yeah. Well, even Defender, one of their first creations, can still reach back and pull his own guns from his holsters without any kind of flexing the plastic or any kind of weird non-built-in movement.
He just can't stand worth the crap.
Well, it was one of the first ones,
but I mean, and the thing is, if you go on Shapeways, there's a guy on Shapeways that's actually built like heel spurs that you can put on him to fix it. So, I mean, yeah, it's a small quirk you got to do, but anybody that's a major fan of that toy is going to go all out and do stuff like that. I know guys out there complain, it's like, oh, when I buy it, it should be perfect. Well, I'm sorry. I don't care if you're buying it on retail, if you're buying an indie toy, you're never going to find it absolutely 100% perfect to your liking. It's just never going to happen. You just got to do it.
Mine's hiding behind my shelf. He fell down there 3 months ago. I just don't want to get it out. So he gets from not standing up.
He has no love.
No.
No love at all.
They're on the shelf. Who cares?
Right. But I mean, some people, they buy them and they want to complain about it. You know, and it's like, my thing is, this is my advice to any of you guys out there that's wanting to purchase any of these indie toys. Search out reviews, whether it's picture reviews, whether it's a paragraph talking about it, or if it's actual video, look for these reviews, because these are going to help you make the smart purchase in the future for something that you want. If you really want it, get it. Who cares what somebody thinks? Get it if that's what you like. If you're a big fan of Springer, I can see why you would want that. Because you probably have every Springer there is that comes out. Like me, I'm a Wheeljack fan and I'm a Bumblebee fan. I'm going to try to buy all that stuff because that's what I like.
Yeah. Well, you know, on that same topic, I'm just going to bring this up real quick. This guy right here, who y'all recognize, Kronos, had some issues with the figure, but I still love the figure, even though he does have a few flaws, because to me he is the Skyfire that I've always wanted visually. Now, I was in a position where I had some good eBay sales, so me getting him, knowing the issues, it wasn't kind of a thing for me, and I got a good copy. But you know, I did my research. I watched the reviews. But you gotta make up your own mind. So, you know, search out the information, but say, okay, make up your own mind on if you want to get the figure or not.
Yeah. Well, we need to wrap this up and talk about our main topic of discussion tonight. We're talking about Brave Series. I know that's not much of a segue, but there's so much discussion that can go on. We tend to rabbit trail sometimes, and I want to wrangle us back and get us on topic for tonight, because we have a lot of subject to talk about. So much so that last week we was only going to cover, I think, three of the series, and we covered like two and a half. No, we were going to cover four, and we covered like three and a half. Yeah. We kind of touched on Mike Gain last week, but kind of danced around it and never actually talked about it. So
it's kind of hard to talk about Mike Gain without revealing the twist. And that twist is something that he has seen all of Mike Gain. I've only seen the first half. So
I've seen the intro.
It's just that
and
twist.
You bought the toy. What is going on?
Yeah,
but you know, Hing, you can back me up, or you can whatever you want to do. But it's like, would you say that the twist in my game is something that you really don't want to spoil?
Yeah, because at that point, Sunrise and Takara were having a bit of a falling out, and because it's only in the last three episodes you really know what they were pushing for. Other than that, it was just like, oh yeah. Feels like your normal, typical Yusha series. I think another main problem was the characters, besides Maito. Like, most of the human characters got fleshed out really well, but the Braves themselves didn't really get fleshed out very well in this one. Like, the human characters really well fleshed out, but the mechas themselves, you have moments where you go, I have no idea who you are and why you've appeared.
Well, I kind of have that feeling a little bit. Yeah, even just watching Gal Gigar, sometimes characters appear and I don't know who they are and don't know what their purpose is. But you know what? The mechas are so darn cool. I'm in it for the toys. I don't care. I just want to watch these awesome fight scenes. It's kind of like Dragon Ball Z for me. I'm admittedly a I've watched a few Dragon Ball Z shows. I have friends that are hardcore Dragon Ball Z fans, but I don't get anything out of the story. But a few episodes I've watched, I'm like, it's got really cool fight scenes, you know, and that's kind of what I get from some of the Brave series. Although, and we'll talk a little bit about Gal Gigar later on in this episode, because that is the very last actual Brave series that aired, even though he's not technically not the last Brave. We will add that little addendum at the end, but the OVA for Gal Gigar is just absolutely so beautiful, in my opinion. Just the artwork. It's like they took the characters and they drew them a little finer and added a few more colors, and it just It just looks so much better in Gal Gaigar Final. But enough about that. Let's backtrack just a little bit and give you a preface of what we talked about last week. We established that the Brave series is kind of like the sister, cousin, logical succession to Transformers. Transformers in the early 90s was on a decline in popularity. And Generation 2 was getting ready to swing in here in the U.S., but I don't think it took off in Japan until a little bit later when more of the original molds started coming out. But the Takara had some designs and some plans for future series that just never were realized in Transformers. And having gone through all this planning and development, and instead of just wasting it, they just went ahead and joined with Sunrise Animation to create the Brave series that we know today. I guess that's the best way to describe it in a nutshell, isn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And so through the Brave series, we've got a few unused Transformer designs, and we also got a few Transformers that were actually redecoed for the Brave series, and this here is Def Gary Gunn from Golron. We'll talk about him in a minute, and you might, you Transformer fans may recognize this guy as Sky Gary. And then we also have some very Transformer-inspired characters, and like this guy here. I picked this guy up here recently, and he is Firebird, the main mecha from the Firebird series. And, he's got a very Star Saber-ish look to him. Just look at the design of the legs, the angle of the legs here. I mean,
it does look a lot like him. I enjoy the way that thing looks. I mean, it looks as if you took Star Saber and just did him in blue versus, like, any of the red.
Yeah. And this right here is what blew me away. And Don and Hang actually alluded to this last week, but he's got a cockpit here, and this little guy here, he's kind of like an Inch Man, almost a Diaclone type guy. But here's what's great about it: he transforms. Oops. And I'm dropping it.
Dies a horrible, horrible death.
Dies a horrible death. But he transforms into like a little engine, and I'll show you here in a moment after I get him converted what you can do with him. If you've looked at the Facebook group, you've seen the pictures that I posted. But this guy here, I mean, I looked out and got a great deal on him, and got him for less than – well, about $60 shipped from Korea, so not bad. But Mike Gain, Hang, you want to give us a little overview of Mike Gain and tell us the main plot points that you can talk about, you don't want to spoil, and also a little bit about the mechas in it.
Well, Mike Gain. I think the best way of explaining it would be Teenage Batman with Giant Robot as sidekick. Mito, the late character, his parents get killed when he was really young, but they're really rich, and they came up with the super AI technology, which they integrate into Gain and all subsequent Tokyo mecha. And he's supported by a group, so he's got... You know, he's got his best friend, his butler, his secretary. So it really does feel like you know,
Batman.
And he's got a secret identity, so he refuses to reveal his real identity to people. He wears a helmet, which is a really flimsy disguise. But I guess if you're piloting a giant robot most of the time, it doesn't matter. This is the first series where he has multiple villains. He doesn't fight the one villain. It's also
Again,
the first series where
kind of like Batman.
yeah, Well, there's also the first series where they're not using aliens as robots. So it's all human based technology.
Yeah. Keep talking. I've got the little engine here, and yeah, put him right. Put that right in there.
Engine Sentinels.
Yeah.
No, don't.
And yeah, basically almost like a little Power Masters type thing, or almost or breast or a Brain Master type thing too. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's cool. So, but and the entire series centers. Sorry, I've got to get my cat out of the way. It centers around.
Does everyone have
train.
A cat but me?
Yes.
It's fine.
No, I don't hey, well, you can't help that we like pussy.
Oh.
No, but the difference is I like the real one, not no damn furry cat baby. I got a mouse.
Rat trap.
That's it. No cats.
Well, basically the entire series runs around trains. It's all train based. And there's various enemies. There's the stereotypical evil professor. There's a cat burglar. There's a shogun, like this, like Japanese general. It's really weird. And that's your general villains that he fights against. He also has a rival, literally a guy who fights him, who just wants to beat him because he basically goes, "You've had a really nice, cushy life. I'm going to beat the crap out of you." And he's like, not only in combat are they rivals, it's also in romance. Because this is the first series with a serious romance going for it. X-Kaiser didn't have it, obviously, because the lead character is like a little kid. Firebird kind of alluded to it with Firebird and a female doctor. But, you know, Firebird being a robot alien thingy, that's never going to happen. Dagon kind of had something, but not really, because the characters are under 13 years old or something like that. And, with my guy with the lead character 15 to 16, it kind of allowed for a teenage relationship kind of thing. It's really weird. They get married at the end, which is like at 16. Okay, fine, whatever.
Hey, it happens.
Not as creepy as Gal Geiger, let me just say, but yeah.
Well, now, I wouldn't call that wasn't if you're talking about what I think you're talking about, that wasn't creepy. It was
disturbing.
It's creepy. It's creepily disturbing, and for you not to say
I'm watching
it's not
the series,
gone, that's
and I'm not. Is it something that happens at the end of the series, or haven't actually?
You can.
We'll bring it up when we get there. We'll bring it when we get there.
Okay.
So that's pretty much my guy, and it's if you like Batman, and you think Batman would be cooler if he was piloting a giant robot.
I do.
Yeah. That's what you got.
And it wasn't called the Batbot.
I like Batbot.
Proto was great. Did you watch Raven the Bold? He's cool. Voiced by Adam West.
Yeah, yes. I mean, but I'm just saying, everything he has is the Bat something. The Bat Shark Repellent.
Duh! Come on, man. Did you ever see, like, Adam West Batman? Everything had
yes,
a label.
Yeah,
had a label, and that was what was awesome about it.
I agree, but it's nice seeing someone who's it's not called Train Bot or Choo Choo Kaiser or whatever the case may be. You know, it's
Space Choo Choo. He is Space Choo Choo, and he hauls Decepticons in his ass. You know,
no,
no, that's Astro Train.
Yes.
Get it, Astro Train?
Yes.
I see what you did there.
He's flying through the asteroid.
Drop somewhere, or we'll never make it to Cybertron.
Quick, get Jenny Craig. See if you can drop some weight. And let me go.
Bass Ackwards posted on Facebook. He said, "Some gods can have cats and pussy too. No different than having cake and eating it too."
Moving along.
Hey, that's for our listeners. It's on the internet. It must be true. Yes. Must but, But Mike Gain, the mechas in Mike Gain, me personally, like I said, Mike Gain was my first personal foray into the Brave series. And it was enough to really turn me on because to the series, because it just... Yeah, it was enough to turn me on. so much so that there was just so much hard plastic there. I couldn't, you know. Yeah,
it just wasn't comfortable.
Fortunately, the bat repellent I left in the box. I should have brought that out.
Yeah,
for those of you who are for those of you who are listening on the downloadable version, Megamus is holding up Batman.
No. This is Adam West. Batman.
It's the best Batman.
Pow, Zam, Wang.
That's right.
Wang.
Yeah.
I think you meant Wham.
Yes. there's so much phallus in this.
Just freaking crazy. Bat pellet and all that other bat stuff is cool.
My favorite was in the movie with the bomb. It's like some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
I thought my favorite was when, you know, they're dangling from the helicopter and he's trying to kick off the rubber
shark.
There
he goes with dangling, man.
Robin, pass me the bat. Shark repellent now. And it explodes.
Yes, shark repellent.
It explodes.
Yes.
The Batman and Robin, the ambiguously gay duo.
Use jelly. Go play with your cat.
All right, moving on.
Okay, Mike Gain. The great thing with Mike Gain, the actual toy, the DX version of the toy, it had electronics, but me personally, I didn't think the electronics interfered all that much with the. With the transformation, it wasn't overly, you know, like in today's modern Transformers house, a lot of the times the electronic gimmick tends to kill the Transformer itself. Well, Mike Gain, it seemed to play off of the sound because, I believe the final step of the transformation into robot mode as you lower down the front half of the train, to become the chest. If I'm not mistaken, it makes a sound, doesn't it? Kind of like
it makes a clanking noise. And then when you finish transforming him, you can press the button, and here's in the revival version, he will say the entire phrase from the TV show what he says when he finishes his combination sequence.
Oh yeah,
which is I can't remember.
Kin no tsubasa, midori no shingo, tokyu yusha maito gain. Tadaima Sanjo.
I was just going to say that. Stole my line.
But
that toy kind of reminded me of the there's this Power Rangers one where it's just all the like blue, gold, and red train, and when you take like the train portion, like the actual engine portion, and you plug it into the center portion, it actually makes noises too. Which I thought that was kind of interesting. I'm wondering if they probably maybe stole the idea for Power Rangers on that one.
It just
possibly
the listeners have taken what we've talked about and ran. I'm reading a comment on here back to the Batman and Robin thing. You know, Batman loves Robin. Robin was Dick Grayson, so therefore Batman loves Dick.
Oh.
You're going to piss off a lot of Batman people you keep talking like that.
Well, hasn't DC already done that?
For those listeners that are not listening, we're going to go ahead and give out Duran's address at the end. It's going to be flashing like this.
Followed by Dawn's.
Hey, I wasn't involved with this. I'm just sitting here looking good. I'm just sitting here looking good.
You're not defending, okay. How are you?
Now, the Mike Gain mecha, not only does it make some neato lights and sounds, the DX version in train mode, as you roll it along the ground, it makes the like the locomotive chugging sound, and it also has a the button that you can push, the horn sounds, and I believe the light on the front lights up. I can't remember.
I think so. I've gotten rid of all my batteries from my mic gun. I couldn't tell you right now.
Yeah,
but what was it, Mugabine? The Mugenbine. Yeah, it that locomotive really looked a lot like the Mugenbine one. That's what's crazy about them. If you actually see the two next to each other, I think they're roughly about the same size too, aren't they?
I don't have that train, but I know what you're talking about. I thought it was slightly smaller because Mugenbine tends to be quite small, except for like Air Leon and that crazy elephant.
It looked like to me Web Diver also had a few design cues.
Web Diver had that big, long locomotive as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, the lead character was a giant locomotive, and then his giant add-on was a dragon pirate ship, which was awesome.
But really Web Diver is
off the market.
Web Diver is a very odd series. But
a very underrated series. Yeah. It was really cool.
Yeah. Actually, if anyone's interested, I think TJ Omega has done several toy reviews on Toys from the Line.
Yeah, he actually has. I think he actually did the review for that particular locomotive we're talking about as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Mike Gain, the locomotive is cool, the robot is cool, and as I mentioned earlier, for me, one of the things that was really interesting with him is if you look at his head sculpt, it very much looks like a Convoy-ish / Optimus Prime type design, and it kind of looks like if you can imagine Optimus Prime wearing a train conductor's helmet, or not helmet, but hat. Yeah, it's very much what he looks like. And since he's the main mecha in that series, or the title mecha in that series, it leads me to think, you know, he could have been an unused Optimus Prime design that they were thinking, you know, or I don't know. I mean, I just get that vibe from that toy, you know, because, you know, Optimus Prime was always a semi truck up until, you know, all through Generation 1. And a semi truck is basically a train for the roads. You know, I mean, it's got to
think about this, though, because if that's true, think about the Transformers Go that came out, where the Optimus Prime was in the foot train.
Yeah.
That's the only time that actually had Optimus Prime. It has been a train that I've even known of.
The one MMC did the toys for.
Yeah, well, besides the official toy, not an indie toy. Yes,
and that's an actual official design, though. That's what I'm talking about.
Right. It only came out of the comics, but that's the only two times we've ever seen Optimus as an official train.
Yeah. So. But the great thing about Mike Gain is that you had the large locomotive, and then there were two smaller trains, another bullet train, and then one bullet train, and then another bullet train that could actually convert into like a little SST type jet. Those would become the arms or the shoulders of the Mike Gain superpower mode, and then that wasn't all. Mike Gain could also combine with Mike Kaiser, another powered up robot, and Mike Kaiser added on in a lot of ways this reminds me of Energon Optimus Prime, with the four components that come out of the trailer that combined with the super mode, like for like arm plug-ons and leg plug-ons.
All right. And,
yeah. To me, it was a very, very Power Ranger Megazord-ish, kind of like what we saw in Energon Optimus Prime. But to me, it pulled it off very well because it was very blocky and very simple conversion. But the combined form of Great Mike Gain, of Mike Kaiser and Mike Gain, was as big as TFC Hercules. And then you had one more addition to that toy, which was Mike Gunner. And Mike Gunner was a yet another small locomotive that could turn into its own individual robot, and then that robot could also turn into a giant gun that would mount on the shoulder of Great Mike Gain to get, make it perfect mode. And the toy had a trigger mechanism that you could pull, light up sounds and everything. And again, the lights and sounds did not interfere with the transformation all that much. And it was actually a part of the toy that, that, I mean, it's like the toy was built for that. And I
think because the electronics are more on the chest plate, because the, the electronics are all in the chest plate. It doesn't affect the combination because the chest and the legs are, for those who actually have seen the toy, very, very separate from each other. So that probably helped.
The one thing about Mike Gain that I loved, and this is, you know, from what I watched, it's not my personal favorite series, but I do like a lot of it. But the transformation sequence is a really high energy. All of Brave usually have high energy transformations. But Mike Gain is one, he is so badass that when they fly up into formation, you get the giant Mike Gain symbol. It's like, yes, we're here. This is who we are. We're going to combine now, and we're going to kick your ass.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it.
It's just, and the only one the only one that really is like, it's like Batman again, because it's like if Batman had the bat signal wherever he went, says, I'm Batman, and it just shines over his shoulder.
Now I've got the, for those of you who can see the YouTube video, I've got Mike Gain himself pulled up here, and just take a look at that head sculpt. I mean, you've got the face plate, the blue head, and the antenna ears, but it looks like he's wearing a conductor's hat. And then you have the arms that were like the bullet trains. Now, this is another motif that was carried over later on throughout the series in Galgaigar, where Galgaigar actually has the Liner Gal, which is a bullet train, as the shoulder component of his combined form. And Galgaigar actually, since it's like the last Brave series, seems to take some design cues from the combined robot from a lot of the previous series that came before it.
And
we'll allude to that a little bit more, but I just wanted to point that out right here in Mike Gain. Notice the shoulder components there. Now, anybody else wanted to say anything about Mike Gain himself before we move on to the other mechas in this series?
Well, it's just with trains, it was a nice change of pace from what we'd had so far, and it took a lot of imagination to. Sorry, that was a huge joke. I'm sorry, but I enjoyed it a lot, and I think you'll really enjoy the twist towards the end.
Yeah. Now, I'm getting ready to screen share another figure from the Mike Gain series. This is another one that I owned at one time. And you may recognize it if you're a Transformer fan. This is Hiryu, also known as Sonic Bomber from Transformers. And from what I understand, there was absolutely no differences whatsoever in this toy from the original Sonic Bomber, aside from the colors. Is that correct?
I think it's missing panels as well. Like, it misses the panels that combines it with
Diatlas and Road. I don't think you can make. I don't think
you
don't
can combine.
I don't think you could make Big Power. Could you?
Yep. The heel spurs are where it attaches. The 2 5-millimeter ports that stick off the back of the feet.
Right.
And then there's another peg around his ass that goes into Diatlas's nose.
Oh, that can be taken out of context.
I've heard of ass to mouth, but not ass to nose. I mean, that's.
No, but look, think about it. That Magna Boss from Beast Wars, where Ironhide's hit turns up in the combined form is Magna Boss's ass. So,
but Hiryu here, as you can even see, he even comes with the MicroMaster that was. Now, is this the same MicroMaster that came with Sonic Bomber, or is it a different one? Just different colors.
He should be white in the metal and black for their car.
Because in the show, they actually pilot the mecha using the cars. The cars become like drive and become the cockpit. They don't transform into their own little robot modes in the show, but the cars do exist in the show.
Let's see here. I've got another one. Let's see. I had it.
You're trying to pull out Goryeo.
No, I don't have Goryeo, but if you have one handy, there was another one that I had.
Not for 30,000 yen. I've got a Diat list somewhere, but not a Goryeo. Goryeo is one of those few mechas where the Brave version seems to be asking for more money than the Transformers version for some reason.
Let's see here. I had. Tri-Bomber. Oh, here. Yes. Okay. All right. Now, this one here is Tri-Bomber from Brave Express Mike Gain. This is another one that I own. And I absolutely, this toy here, it might not look like much, but it absolutely floored me in the fact that it's your typical three-robot combiner. Well, I mean, it's a three-robot combiner, but what was great about this toy, as you can see, it's got a very G1-esque look to it, and it has a very G1-esque combination. But what was great about this toy is each of the components of it was a bullet train, a dinosaur, and a robot. So it was each component had three modes. They were triple changers, and then they combined together into a large robot, and that was just absolutely amazing to me. And the way that and each one of them actually looked kind of decent in a G1 kind of way.
They also merged with a fourth robot. Actually, there's a Horn Bomber, which is a Triceratops kind of thing robot train as well, and then it becomes like extra body armor.
And
I just can't find that. I want that. I can't find it. Do you have Horn Bomber, Don?
Yeah, I've got the complete set of four.
Horn Bomber is the one that's really hard to find. I found the other three quite okay. Like I bought, I had the green one and the blue one initially, Leo Bomber and Dragon Bomber. And then I only got the bird recently, and it was really good. Like them together, beautiful. I'm not sure what Horn Bomber does in toy form, like adding to it personally, but
honestly, I mean,
pretty good.
Yeah, this one right here, I mean, by himself was just awesome by itself. I mean, I picked this one up a couple years ago. I no longer own this one, but it didn't have any of the weapons, but it was just enough to combine. But yeah.
You don't need the weapons. That's the beauty of this of Tri-Bomb is that you just need the three trains to merge them into the main form.
Yeah, Brett, do you have any comments on this guy?
Yeah.
I'll live.
I'll short to the point. I'm just looking at
some of the different ones, and some of them look cool, but that one, eh.
This one honestly is one that if you had it in hand and saw what it did, you'd be amazed and you would like it. I think it'd be down your alley. But that's
pictures wise, it's not. It never looks better. Like the first time I saw a picture of it, I'm like, oh, should I bother?
Yeah, it does look a lot better in person. It's just The only trouble is if you have Horn Bomber and you have the shoulder armor and the shoulder cannon, you kind of lose that one arm. And there's you can't even move that one arm just the way the, with the way the cannon attaches. So you lose some posability when you armor up.
See, I was looking at this. Now, see, this looks cool.
Yeah, that's yes. That's great might gain.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about earlier, the combined form of might gain and might Kaiser. And is that the perfect mode, or is it...
No, that doesn't have the... that doesn't
localizer.
Have
no. Yeah. It's great.
There's one more with something else on this one. Correct?
Yeah, it's it would fit on his right shoulder. Now, actually, if you got two Mike Gunners, now Sid Beckett from Facebook, yeah, he actually got two Mike Gunners and put one on each shoulder, so that was pretty awesome.
That may be a bit overkill.
It's a bit overkill, but it can be done. You can put two Mike Gunners on the shoulder. Mike Gunner himself is about I think he's what a large deluxe, maybe small Voyager. Size.
I'm looking for one. See if I can find a picture.
Good luck.
Train's really long. Yeah. But robot mode, he's pretty tiny. He's like one of the. He was probably in robot mode, just only slightly taller than the bombers separately. I think. I
remember. Yeah. Correctly. Yeah.
They're not very big.
What was another mecha in the? In the breaks
They also
there was the typical rescue team, the divers.
Yeah, guard diver.
Oh, yeah. So expensive and so hard to find.
And not really that good of a figure. I hate to say.
Combined, there's this massive gap where the waist should be, so you're always worried that if you accidentally touch him, he's going to disconnect.
Yeah,
and individually, vehicles are great. The mecha looks pretty bad.
Yeah.
I still buy them to complete my set, but, you know.
it's definitely not a not one of the higher up ones to get if you're trying to complete your series. You know, I'd rather spend the money towards Thunder Baron or Guardian or someone like that.
To be fair, though, that mode got
repurposed
for...
Plastic on is rebooting his computer, by the way.
The mode for the divers got recolored. For Jay Decker. I actually don't know if they ever got released as toys, but they were released in the cartoon series and were named after the Beatles.
And it was also Black Might Gain, which we just got a Super Robot Chogokin of not long ago.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, Evil Might Gain. That's right. Well, not really evil. So the funny story about it is that one of the villains, that I didn't mention, this stereotypical China guy. Anyway... He tries to copy the super AI system from Mike Gine to create an evil version called Black Mike Gine, or Black Gine in that case, to defeat Mike Gine. The problem is because they copied the AI system from Gine, he becomes a good guy.
So he's inherently good.
Yes. The only reason the only way they got him to fight Mike Gine was to use like a Mazinga Z powder, like the thing that merges onto the head, connects it to Black Mike Gine, and then he fights Mike Gine. He gets destroyed, dies a horrible, horrible death. Everyone's really, really sad. It's a very emotional episode, and it's really good. But I just found it hilarious where he goes like, Black Gine, go destroy Gine. And Gine's like trying to hold the bridge. It's like, oh shit, I'm in trouble. And then Black Gine helps him carry up the bridge, and they're going, oh, did you forget that because you copied the AI, you made him good? There's that latest moment of like, oh, you idiot. It was really good. Like, it was a really good app.
Now, the picture that I have up here, this is from bravedx.com, and it's of the Tri-Bomber with the Horn Bomber attached as a Battle Bomber, I guess, would be the combined form.
Yeah, Battle Bomber.
Yeah.
Look at that chest.
Yeah.
And a giant cannon.
Yeah, well, that's another motif in the Brave series is a lot of them have giant cannons. But, yeah. Okay, let's move along to Jay Decker. You want to give us a little overview of that series?
Jay Decker? So J Decker is another super AI based series. Basically, the police, a company working with the Japan Police Department, start working on a prototype super AI called Decker. And Decker is just a Japanese pun on the word police in Japan. He meets a young kid called Yuta, who accidentally falls into his construction bay, meets him and starts teaching him crazy poses, like when, when he transforms, he shouts, "Hold up, brave police!" And, the little kids taught him all of that, taught him what's like to be, what humanity is like, how to have a heart, really. At the end, like, throughout the entire series, the main theme is that the brave police all have hearts. So because of that, he learns to be something different. And in the first episode, before they display him, they wipe his memory. So the worry is that he'll lose his memory of the times with Yuta. but it turns out that he retains them at the end of the episode. And because he has got such a connection with Yuta, the lead kid in the series, the police commissioner puts the kid in charge of the brave police. Basically, a little kid, he's like 10, I think, runs around with the police and has, all police like legal standings and stuff like that.
So kind of like real life. Yeah.
Sure.
No, I think the kid's probably more responsible than some.
And so basically the rest of the teams are based off J Decker, or based off Decker anyway, mm-hmm. the AI system. At certain points of the story, the villains pick up super AI robots as well. They get the technology that created the super AI, and it's a really good plot point, because at the end of it, you find out that any robot with super AI has a affinity to Yuta because it's all based off Decker, and that's how the story plays out, and it's really good.
Okay. Now, this is Fire J. Decker. This is a combination of J. Decker and Brain Freeze. Yes, you've got
Fire Duke.
And Duke Fire and Max Cannon.
Fire Duke Fire.
Yeah. Now, it's very obvious he's got a like a badge or a shield in the center of the chest.
I'll just point out something. The picture you've got is the Son of Kong version, because the Japanese version doesn't have the red and blue in the center, because those are the colors for the Korean
flag.
Police force. Yeah.
Okay.
But the police force uses those colors as well. The Korean flag is red and white.
Okay.
So you can look at it, and this is a massive cluster F, because seriously, this thing doesn't hold together. It holds well together, but it's problematic at best.
It's probably the only main Brave mecha that looks better separated into its individual components than combined, at least to me anyway.
I kind of dig that head on the guy.
If you look at mine, the secondary head is right there, and the chest plate is this far away from his main head. Massive gap.
Yeah.
Okay, he's really heavy as well. I'm going to put him down.
Now, what's him? What is he size wise in combined form? How big does
he? He's only slightly shorter. He's only slightly, and I do mean slightly shorter than Great Might Gain in Perfect Mode.
Oh wow! Now Duke Fire that combines with J. Decker. To form him. Now, he is important to Transformers fans. Why? I'm getting ready to bring up a screen share of him. Here we go, right here.
Because Duke Fire itself can actually merge with Star Convoy.
Duke Fire can merge with Star Convoy.
In certain components, in certain ways.
Now, The great thing was this was the original. This was originally supposed to be New Rodimus, was it not?
That's what the Generations books kind of allude to, except that without the ambulance following his arms, they would have found a way to make the arms part of the vehicle form.
It's kind of unusual, Rodimus being a fire truck, But yeah, I'm checking it out here. There's yeah, Brett's on here making fun of me.
No, no,
never.
But it's got one of the oddest the motorcycle is the cannon for.
Gun Max.
Thank you. It's literally a motorcycle stuck on the side. Of course, I can't really say anything. Super Fire Deck 1 has some of the same issues too, but it's a motorcycle stuck on the side of fire. It is.
Well, in the show, it was really good because he was technically part of like the police patrol, so a separate, you know, like they dealt with street gangs and stuff like that, like bikie gangs, and he was part of it. And he didn't like the rest of the Brave Police because he always worked on his own. And it was really funny because in the series where they go, oh, he can transform into Max Cannon, which will power up Jay Decker, because this is before Duke Fire. And he's like going, no, I make this decision. Who can pull my trigger? And I'm like, why? How did this end up in a kids' show? To be fair, little children would probably not catch on that joke. But
no.
Looking at it now.
No, I don't think so. Now, there was yet another figure that was released in the Brave Police, Jay Decker, and another one that is familiar to Transformer fans. Anybody have this guy handy? Shadow Maru.
Yeah, I've got him. I'll be right back. I took him off my room for the Dagwood angle.
But Shadow Maru, this...
Quick, let's all hide.
Doc comes back in silent.
Duck off screen.
Not a word.
There we go. Can y'all see him well enough? All right, very funny. Everybody can come back now.
The look on Don's face was priceless.
I thought it was a potty emergency.
By the way, one of my better jokes. Thank you.
I should have known.
You need a snapshot of Don for that for the new intro, right?
Yeah,
that was a good one.
For you audio listeners, we totally just trolled Don. He comes back, he starts talking, and there's nobody on screen. We just all got up and left.
It's probably my last day. I come out there, but she's gone.
Good shit.
This is Shadow Maru, which is a remold and retooling of Six Shot. He
comes with swords, which is what Great Shot really needed.
Yeah. And he is a ninja. He's not a ninja consultant, he's a ninja.
He's not a ninja consultant from the planet Cybertron.
What is that from?
The dub of Headmasters that Brian loves so much.
Very one from Malaysia.
Yeah. It's very, very badly dubbed, but yeah. You got Spike, it's called Sparkle. In the series, and Blaster's
called Billy.
Yes.
Blaster's called Billy.
Yes. Yes.
And Soundwave is called New Soundwave.
Yeah. Six Shot is famous for saying, it sounded literally, whenever he was talking, it literally sounded
like some dude was holding his mouth over his hand like this and just talking. And he said that Six Shot is a ninja consultant from the planet Cybertron.
Ninja consultant.
Yeah. He's not a ninja. He's just a ninja consultant.
But you know why he's a consultant, right? Because he likes to con people and insult them.
Yeah.
Now the good thing about Shadow Maru is he does have all of Six Shot's transformations. There's, you know, they're called different things in this, you know, as far as that goes. But it's But the problem is, though, he is extremely hard to find now.
Mm-hmm. Or at least really expensive when you do find him.
Yeah, it's now there is the Terminus Hexatron version coming out as an homage to him. But as you can tell, you've got the six shot. I'm not going to do all six, of course, but I mean, you still have the same six shot mode. He also comes with throwing stars
and a pistol as well.
Yeah, and a pistol. Yeah,
he never uses in the show.
Yeah, and
he
also
never uses that in the show.
And some of the Brave figures actually come with a baton. So
Jay Decker, and I think. Jay Decker comes with a baton. Duke Fire comes with a big ass sword.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the build team comes with.
Now, I don't know about you, but in what countries do police carry swords?
Japan.
The UK, I believe. That's where Duke Fire is from.
Duke Fire. Oh, the character is from the UK.
Yeah, and then his creator, he keeps calling her Lady, and she keeps calling him her Shining Knight. Evidently, the police in the UK use swords to fight crime.
Yeah, bring a knife to a gunfight. Yeah.
Now I'm trying to get him. Now the main difference in Shadow Maru, other than what you've seen so far. Is
well, he's got a different head, different chest sculpt, and he's got a few new accessories.
Yeah,
different
and
animal head.
Yeah,
I think his animal mode is different as well.
Yes, that's what I'm getting him into now. If you can tell,
I actually like that wolf head a lot better than his default head.
Talking about the wolf head.
Yeah.
The Mental, episode where he joins the Brave Police is hilarious. They go like, because he's such a lone wolf. He's such a lone wolf that they go, oh, you know, we really want you to be part of the team. We even built you a doghouse in the base. He goes like, I'm not a dog. What? Oh, we all thought you were modeled over a dog, you know, like a Deca. Like, no, I'm not a dog.
A police dog.
He's actually a wolf, which is the running joke.
Yeah, but
because he transforms into his wolf mode and sits down with like his head on his paws. Like
but
a dog.
Yeah, but he's not Metal Gururumon.
No. No. God, no.
Now, Brett, what's your thoughts on the Brave Police? Well, he disappeared now.
I think his thought was slag.
No. Actually, I was going to comment on Bass Ackwards, who said nothing's better than robo ninjas other than robo boobs that shoot missiles. So here we go.
Diana A.
You see? There you go.
I'll never unsee that.
Look, you didn't say male or female boobs, so we work with what we got. There you go.
Machine gun jumblies? How did I miss those?
Hang on while I reload the nipples.
It's funny because the guy in the Gaikin cartoon, he just shoots laser beams out of his boobs, not missiles.
True.
Anyway. Is that the same one that you picked up when you was over this way a few months back, Brett?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I thought it looked familiar.
That's him.
Yes.
I'm not gonna shoot that one.
I thought you didn't like the Power Rangers look.
Oh, now these are Shogun Warriors. This is what I played with when I was real young. These are awesome. This is before Transformers.
Getting back to
police with swords and everything, that's cool. I like that. I can dig that.
That's cool stuff. There's actually an entire series, Police J. Decker. So really, really cool.
One thing to point out about Police J. Decker as well, sorry, is that it's the only series where they don't have a typical stock footage final attack kill thing. Hill, J. Decker, and Duke Fire actually merge. Then they start having stock footage final kill attacks. Which is interesting.
I guess stock footage is really common in a lot of these series because I guess with the Sunrise Animation, that was kind of their thing, is they did a lot of stock footage. They did like really awesome animations for the conversions and then just reused them a lot. But you know what? I don't care. Like the Gal Gaigar one, I don't care how many times I see it. I love it. It's just beautiful. I mean, you know, the Final Fusion again, more Gal Gaigar later. We'll get to that in a moment. Let's talk about Gulron. And I know that, Hang, you kind of have this thing for Gulron.
Oh, I'm such a super fan of Gulron. It was the very first Yusha series toys I bought. Mike Guy may have been the first series I watched, but Gulron was the first series I actually went out of my way to buy the toys. Like, seriously. I've got every toy from Gulron except for Des Gary Gunn, only because I can't stand the fact that he's so tiny. Comparison,
but he's so cheap and easily obtainable.
Yeah,
you just need him to complete,
especially from our sponsor.
Yes, from our sponsor, CapturePrey.com. You can get Death Gary Gun for only about, I think he's like $25.
And believe me, that is worth it, because it's the figure has a lot of it's a very colorful. It's just a good figure for it, you know.
Yeah.
No, don't get me wrong. I know how good it is because I have Sky Gary, but at the same time, I'm like going, no.
Well, I've got Sky Gary.
Like, I don't really buy villain mecha anyway, so I guess. You see, I was the problem that Bray faced. Not enough people wanted to buy villain mecha.
Why you no lie? Why you no lie? It's so. But so Death Gary Gun, Sky Gary, I forgot to flip those up.
Giant Base from Hell, basically.
Yes. I kind of like the little the creature eyes. It kind of gives him like a cat head, like. The head there.
Because that's the symbol of the family that uses them.
And what's weird is he actually has a base mode that is kind of decent.
The Tower of Death.
Oh, that one.
He comes with the little Micromaster there.
I have that. I don't have the rest.
Well, you need the rest?
No.
You got to be a completist.
And I love these little decoy guys that comes with it.
Yeah, they're the cannon fodder. It's great. Yeah. They turn up to get beaten up by the basic form robots, and then the real enemy comes up, and then they have to combine to fight that instead.
So basically, it's kind of like putties. You know, they're the putty patrollers.
Yeah. I go with that.
Now,
basically, the series goes really after this one. If you want a series where there's not really a running theme, you've got Gulron. If you want kick characters that are not
basically the first 25 episodes of Gal Gaigar, like enemy shows up, super robots show up to destroy enemy, and everybody goes home happy.
Like Gulron is really a lighthearted adventure. It's basically these three kids. They find the power stones, which the villains are also hunting for, because the power stones release great power, which is the Yusha in the series. Whoever picks the stone first and says the magical mystic words of summoning the Yusha, get them as slaves. The villains obviously want them to do destruction and everything, whereas the kids just want them so that they can go on continuous adventures. Basically, they skip school to go on adventures.
Because that is just so...
want to do.
Yeah, what kids want to do.
And the mecha themselves are all basically warrior themed, I would say, like samurai, knights. In the case of Captain Shark, which you guys talked about before, he's a pirate. So very, very adventure based things, like the Crusades and stuff like that. I mean, yeah, Crusades weren't fantastic, but, you know.
Totally love the cargo thing.
Micro trailers.
Yeah.
Have they been gutted? I feel like these ones are gutted versions.
Yes, they don't have the springs in them like Sky Garry's does.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. But yeah, the series is great in the sense that there isn't any real long-term storyline until the midpoint. All the kids want to do is find the Yusha, so it's like Pokemon adventures. And then all the villains want to do is to stop them and gain the powers for themselves. And the main villain is hilarious. Like, you cannot take him seriously, and it's great. Like, he is so funny. It's
kind of like G1 Megatron.
Ooh, yeah, something like that. His battle plans always fail for the dumbest reasons. Midway, his younger brother probably the first quarter way, his younger brother turns up because Death Gary Gun gets destroyed, and they pick up Death Sorry, which is basically a repainted Scorpion Arc as the new base. I'm wrong. What am I talking about? Sorry, the Scorpion Arc was the first base. And then Death's Gary Gun is the second base. In that story, the main villain joins the Goron team to fight off his younger brother. But then he gets grabbed in his mecha, which is a repainted Sonic Bomber again. So Sonic Bomber turns up in Goron as well. And gets launched into space. So imagine Rocket Punch into space.
Now, does anyone have Captain Shark handy? They can show off. Okay.
You mean right here?
Yes.
Yes.
You got to love a shark that is a captain with a hook for a hand.
And a pirate.
Or a pirate, yeah.
Yeah. And that was the inspiration for KFC's Sencho Barbosa, if anyone was wondering where that idea came from. It came from Captain Shark.
Wait, when did Kentucky Fried Chicken start selling toys?
A while ago, they started with cassettes.
You can see the harpoon.
Yeah, it's actually Keith's Fantasy Club, but they use a similar red and white background.
Yeah.
Which I think have they not been asked to cease doing that?
They changed it twice, and I can't remember what the new name is.
Keith's Toy Club, I believe.
Yeah.
ATC.
Yeah.
But, that was really cool. And then now I've got this guy here. This is a knockoff. I wouldn't say high quality, but this is Adventure.
Auto Adventure. I've got the vehicle mode, and this is our original thing.
Yeah, this one right here I got shipped from. I believe this came from Singapore for about $15 shipped. So, I mean, he's kind of cheap, but, you know, I mean, he works.
And the cool thing is, all the Brave figures, one thing we haven't talked about, a lot of the Brave series uses those same red missiles. And,
oh, yeah. That's right.
And like Great Golderon, I counted mine at one point. I think Great Golderon, fully combined with all three figures, can shoot almost 30 missiles if you deploy everything.
I can give you an answer to that. Give me a sec.
Okay. Because
Captain Shark's got that Gatling gun on the...
Right. And the good thing is, if you lose a couple of missiles and you buy anything Brave that launches missiles, they all kept that same basic missile for the entire run, except up to maybe Bon Gon. I'm not 29. Sure if any of the toys kept those.
29
missiles.
That's plus the bow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of missiles. Now, people, if you love chrome, especially gold chrome, Golron, Great Golron is for you. Yes. I mean, check him out. Hang, you want to show us a little bit about it and tell us some? If you're watching on YouTube, check this guy out.
This is the original version. So he is not totally chromed. Some parts of him are like, you know, go plastic. But he does not have the syndrome. The revival version is totally chrome. That is the super shiny will blind you if you put it in the light in the wrong way. Okay, so that's the one. Please don't, if you value your eyesight, don't do that.
Yeah. And the entire front half of the lion becomes his bow.
Yep. This, his legs, that's the tail, basically is the bow. The golden archery attack. This is, to me, the best Brave toy. The combined mode actually looks, you know, kind of well-proportioned. I'll pull back a bit. But he looks well-proportioned in combined mode. Goron himself has actually a lot of articulation, which the legs are preventing it from doing so. But basically, he can move his joints. He's got, like, multiple, you know, limb movements and stuff like that. So Goron himself is really, really good. The vehicles that merge to form, like, the chest plates themselves, they're quite big. They're quite a decent size. It's unfortunate that God Silverion, which is one of the secondary mecha, is so rubbish. If not, this would be an almost perfect set. Because Adventure, the train, he's fantastic. Captain Shark's fantastic. Really, God Silverion is the weak point of the entire group.
He's not that bad, though.
Well, the parallel I would use, Weird Wolf, is imagine you get Predaking. And you've got Predaking sitting there, and it's just full of awesome and wind. And then you pick up Superion. So that's the comparison that I make between Great Golduran and God Silveron. God Silveron to me is the Superion of the set. It's not bad, but there's better combiners.
Yeah.
Like if you just had Silveron without the fourth component to him, he's actually decent. But once you add the component, because of the way he plugs onto it, and he's quite a big figure on his own, it just looks really weird and pointless. I have the figure. I don't really want to kill people by showing it how bad it is.
Now,
it's right behind you, isn't it?
Yep. I'm covering it with my head.
Is he the one that is like all silver chrome, or?
Yeah, if you really want to look at him, he's right there. All the silver. That's why he's called Silverion. Get it?
Yeah.
He's got zero articulation, really. When he's in God mode, if he's not in God mode, he's got a little bit of articulation with the arms and the legs. But yeah. Individually, the mecha, the individual robots are actually quite decent.
Their
vehicles are really good. But combined, it's one of those cases where the combined form really suffers from how awesome the individual forms are.
Kind of like, I'm not even going to say that, though. That's an Armada toy that I hate, so.
What, there's an Armada toy that you don't hate?
No. Yes. Now, the great thing about the Golron, you know, like I said earlier, is the gold chrome that is so beautiful on that guy. Now, Sorokagi, the eagle, I guess, is the component of him, is somewhat easy to find, but the other two components for Great Golduran is not as easy to come by. And generally, I see them going for around $200 to $300 by themselves.
You have a better chance getting the Sonic Kong version, which is Goron and Sorokage together. You have a better chance with that.
Also, Leon Kaiser is also quite expensive.
Yeah, that's why if you can find the triple pack set that Japan released, I would totally recommend it, because that's what how I got it, and I got him for $280 ship.
That's not bad. That's not bad. Now, the next series we have to talk about is, I'm sure, Don's favorite.
Yeah, I'll just leave it to Don. I'm not going to say anything about this.
Also, it's the center mecha in this one is also our sponsor, Captured Prey, the owner of it, Sidecutter. He is a huge fan of Fire Dagwon. And the next one is Brave Command Dagwon. And you know what? Before we talk about that, let's take about a 2-minute break. Play a message from our sponsors, and then we'll go into Brave Command Dagwon, and we will be back in about 2.5 minutes, so please stay tuned. TFYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Visit www.capturedparade.com for all your import, Transformers, and third-party figure needs. And save even more through the Captured Prey loyalty program. CapturedPrey.com. Mega Toy Fan. Look for Mega Toy Fan at popular toy conventions like BotCon and TFCon, as well as on Facebook at facebook.com/mega.toyfan. Join up on our forums at tftalk.net. Discuss the podcast with the cast of the show. Talk about Transformers and Super Robot Mecha, or just talk about whatever is on your mind. Visit tftalk.net or tfylp.com today. TFYLP is also on Twitter at TFYLP. The TFYLP Twitter is the one place where you can find out the latest information on the show, as well as directly contact us about the show. Follow at TFYLP today. Join the TFYLP Facebook group, where hundreds of fans talk about the show, or you can buy, sell, or trade your Transformers figures with fellow members. Visit facebook.com/groups/TFYLP and ask to join today. You can now find TFYLP on Stitcher Radio. Stitcher Radio is a free app available for the iOS, Android, and Nook platforms with over 20,000 shows to discover. With Stitcher Radio, you can create your own custom playlists and is always on demand and always on the go. Listen in to TFYLP on Stitcher Radio today and please rate us. Tell other fans that you heard TFYLP on Stitcher Radio. TFYLP is available for download via the iTunes podcast directory, Double Twist on the Android platform, as well as from our website at tfylp.com. And we're back. We are talking about Brave, and we were getting ready to head into Brave Command Dagwon. And Don, I think you've been waiting to talk about this for a while now. So
it's my favorite. With all due respect to the other Brave series and the Galgrakar, because Galgrakar has a lot of great mecha, a lot of great characterization. But I think for me, Dagwon is probably the most, I hate to use the word realistic, but it, to me it's the most plausible if anything happened. Basically, you've got a space prison. The inmates have taken over. And apparently the space police are stretched so thin, they recruit teenagers with attitudes. And give them the means to fight the prisoners that are using the prison as their base. I got a very Green Lantern vibe off of it. You know, they were chosen to be worthy to defend their planet. They're given the mecha. Behind me, I've got a selection of the Brave toys from Dagwon. And Dagwon was really the only series, if you can tell, to get actual action figures of the characters in their armored uniforms. Or armored outfits. You've got the leader in. You've got all of his friends. You've got the sixth and seventh basic Dagwons that show up later on. You've got Grandis, which was repurposed as Dag Base, which is their staging base and bunker. And then if you look up top, you've got the selection of Dagwon. You've got the lighter Dagwon. Superliner Dagwon, which is like Tri-Bomber, but, you know, a little bit more evolved. Lyanne, who becomes the sword that Superfire Dagwon can hold. Shadow Dagwon, which is basically their lone wolf guy. That's his mecha. Basically, I guess you could say he was a prototype for what we would see with Volphok in Galgrakar. Gun Kid, who becomes a Nerf missile-launching gun that actually attaches to the back, to the side of Super Fire Dagwon while he's holding the sword. If I did that, this thing would fall over. It's just, I love the mecha. I love the series. And, you know, it's just, you know, I think the series finale is one of the strongest finales I've seen in anime. just because of the way it's structured.
Do we count the OVA in the finale?
No, the OVA is not. It's like final. I know it exists, but I choose not to acknowledge it. Sorry, final still rubs me the wrong way 10 years after the fact. But no, Dagwon is a really good show. But the difference with Dagwon and the other series is the Mecha are not intelligent except for Gun Kid, Lion, and Dagbase. Well, Dagbase is not sentient.
Intelligent, though.
It's not sentient, but there's something there, maybe, you know. But
no, Dagbase absorbs whoever's in him, so any of the other Yushas are in him, you use them as them. So, no, only Lion and Gun Kid.
Okay. And what's different about Dagwon is the characters transform using their morpher, their Dag morpher. And
the Dag Commander, isn't it? Isn't that what it's called? Dag Commander?
Well, I've only seen it translated as Dag Morpher or something along those lines. I haven't actually seen a literal translation for it. But they become their armored forms, and then they merge with the machines. So the AI doesn't exist in the Super AI format. It's actually them merging with the machines and becoming the machines. Because you see in several episodes, especially with N, when he gets the power-ups, that the merging is definitely taking a toll on their physical bodies. Mm. So, you know, so basically and this came out supposedly because the trend started by Gundam Wing was very popular, you know, with, you know, I hate to use the word pretty boys, but that's kind of along the same lines. But, you know, they're interesting characters. I like the mecha. It's just a really, really fun series.
Now, the thing, Fire Dagwon himself is a 747 jet.
Right.
Jumbo jet.
Yeah, jumbo jet.
Now, we were talking last week about the deluxes versus the SDs, as far as the sizes. This is the SD version.
The standard, STD, okay.
The standard, yep, of Fire Dagwon. So you can tell... You know, it's a lot less involved as far as the transformation, but in some ways it can be a little more show accurate with, you know, stickers or paint apps because it's a little bit cheaper. This is Lian, who is the sentient sword, and you know to me it's really overlooked, and I really don't know why. Do you think it's one of the more overlooked series, or do you think that's another series altogether?
Dagwon.
I mean, as far as being overlooked.
No, Dagwon isn't overlooked. Look, the fact that it even had a OVA, which you're overlooking, OVA finale.
I really hadn't got that.
Kind of proves that it was popular enough, because only two series really had epilogue series, and it's this and Galgaiga. No other series really had an epilogue, but most of the other series kind of completed themselves, except really Goran, which has a non-ending.
Now, sorry.
I said the cool thing about Lian is he does become the sword,
and he is the most KO'd figure I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like throughout the 90s.
There's tons of him, and you can.
Does he have light and sound or something?
Yeah, I haven't got any batteries in him, but you can also mash down the. Because he can talk in sword mode. And back here is the handle that he can be held with by Super Fire Dagwon.
Well, that's
totally
cool.
Inaccurate, though, to the cartoon, let's be serious.
Yeah, it's. Basically, in the cartoon, it looks like it'd be like Lina wielding the large size sort of omens.
It's basically Brave's attempt to add in role play into the toy line.
Oh no, Brave had role toy figures from the very beginning. Dagon has a bazooka that's based off Gardan's cannon. So they have had
role
play figures.
Yeah.
But nothing that integrates with the actual toys, I guess.
Yeah, the one role play thing I have that I don't have over here is in when Ian transforms his first transformation out of armored hero to robot, he merges with a police car, and his police car has a gun that shoots fire, and they made a role play toy of the gun. It doesn't shoot fire, but it's a very nice looking role play gun.
It'd be funny if you shot fire.
Side note here, Plasticon just texted me his modem toasted. So,
ooh,
yeah. So he's KO'd for the show, I guess. But Fire Dagwon
KO'd for a KO'd collector, right? Yes.
It also had some other mecha in there. What about Shadow Dagwon?
Yep, Shadow Dagwon.
He looks kind of stumpy.
He is very small compared to the others.
But he's supposed to be anyway.
Yeah, his human character is the lone wolf, the quiet studious, the one that's in tune with nature. He's more of a covert agent. You know, if you need someone to sneak in somewhere or find out something about the enemy, he's the one that usually does it. And his minions here, the eagle on the back, and then the lion and the, I don't know, tiger, I guess what you'd call them, are actually playing, they're held on playing cards. And he can throw the playing cards and summon the animal companions to fight with him. Or
it's a wolf and a tiger, by the way, sorry.
Oh, it's a wolf, okay, cool. I just wasn't sure. I just couldn't remember for sure. And so that's that. Shadow Dagwon is also kind of hard to find, but this is the Korean version, and I've had it for well over 10 years, and as of so far, there's no problem with him.
Held up pretty well.
Yeah.
I think he's got the big Bulvok syndrome, doesn't he? Where it looks good in combined mode, but it's utterly horrible on his own or something like that.
Yeah, well, the individual animal partners, their robot modes are kind of like guard divers. It's like, let's put them back in beast mode, you know. But the center robot is not bad. But, yeah, it's definitely it's a trade-off between the combined mode versus the individual modes. My favorite mecha that's not Fire Dagwon and Super Fire Dagwon is what I think is the best train mecha, which is Liner Dagwon. Because to me, he's just a little better proportion than the bomber brothers. You use the same red ripple fire missiles, and it's just, you know, for a three person robot, to me, you would not get a better looking free robot combiner until you got the JRX.
Now, Liner Dagwon, how big is he in combined form?
He's about the same size as Tri-Bombers, isn't it?
Okay. Tri-Bomber wasn't that big. Tri-Bomber was maybe later class, I guess. Right. A small later class.
No, I would say probably closer to Voyager.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Well,
It's been a year or so since I've had it. So.
Well, here's Liner Dagwon, and this is the Shadow Striker mold version of OTFCC 2003, but it's the Speedbreaker mold.
Yeah.
And you can kind of see.
He's closer to Voyager.
Yeah. Now, when you get the Super Liner Dagwon, you get a really nifty pair of platform shoes. As most brave mecha, you get a nifty pair of platform shoes.
Giant drill cannon.
And a giant
pierce the heavens.
Why, Don? Why do you have two Liner Dagwons?
Actually, I have three, and I'll explain why. I bought Liner Dagwon originally, and this is the Japanese version that I got for a pretty good price back in the day because I'm old. I was looking for this train, but this train was sold by itself. What was his name again, Nate?
Hmm?
Gunmax.
No, the train.
The fourth guy. Hang on.
Yankee?
Yankee? Was it Genki?
I thought it was Genki.
No, the character was Geki.
Geki.
And his, he was Dak Drill.
Dak Drill. And this train by itself is what at the time was very hard to find. I actually found this gift set, which is the Sonicon gift set, cheaper than what the Japanese train by itself would cost. And then I saw another one that was on sale, and I thought, well, if one of these breaks, I'll be hard pressed to find just that one train. So I bought another one. So yeah, I kind of triple dipped on that one.
Well, in if you love sense, something I enough.
I was more lucky than Don because I found the Super Liner Dark One set for 7,000 yen, I want to say.
That's what, $7? $8?
$7.70. So, okay. And that was the full set.
Move the decimal.
Oh.
So, you know, and I didn't mean to run off of the mouse so much. It's just Dark One is my favorite mecha, and I honestly think it's probably my favorite series. Again, like I said, I got a real big Green Lantern vibe kind of off of it, so maybe that was part of it.
Yeah.
I have to admit, Dagon is the only series I haven't watched all the episodes of. I got up to episode 24, I think, and then suddenly ended up at 42, I think. It's like massive jump, and I went like, whoa, where are these characters? Who are these characters? Where did they come from?
But that one is where last week when I showed off that the Victory Shuttle retool, that was the yellow with the jet black. That's this line here. So
the Thunder Shuttle.
The Thunder Shuttle. So this is where you start getting some more of the old Victory molds being reused and retooled.
Actually, they did quite a bit of retooling on that guy, didn't they? On Galaxy Shuttle.
Yeah, definitely.
His head. They added a gap to his back and stuff like that.
Yeah, because the character here, the yellow character, is his human component, and he in his vehicle mode when he merges with his vehicle, it's a motorcycle and sidecar, and that fits on the back of Thunder Shuttle.
And he's the newbie of the team too. He's an alien newbie. It's quite funny.
And yet another connection to Transformers in that series.
And one other thing, technically there was an eighth Dagwon member from outer space. Her name was, I believe, it was Luna, wasn't it, Hank?
Yep.
She
was meant to pilot Dagbase, but that didn't quite work out, I think.
Yeah. So, yeah, but she, of course, being a Japan and female, she never got a toy that I've ever seen.
Well, that'll do it for the Dagwon series. And right before we move into this last main series in Brave, I want to play a little bit of this here. And for you Brave fans that are listening or watching, you might like this.
What that is.
Yes, that is the theme song to Gal Gai Gar that is actually performed live. It's also available on iTunes right now.
I think it's the 2006 Annie Metal concert or something like that.
Yeah, it's Yusho Tanju, I believe is what the name Yusho of the song
Tanju.
Is. Yeah.
Yusho Tanju.
Yeah. So it's a very catchy tune. Even my wife the other day, I had been watching some Gal Gai Gar on TV, and it's one of those things where she just looks at it, shakes her head, and says, "Why do you watch that stupid crap?" And I'm like, "I like it." Well, that was the previous night, and then the very next morning, I'm sitting there and I'm eating my breakfast cereal, watching television. I'm watching something else like CNET, and she's in there making herself something like a cup of coffee, and then all of a sudden I hear out of the kitchen my wife going, "Gal Gai Gar, Gal Gai Gar, Gal Gai." And I'm like, I won!
minor victories against wives are good. Let's just look at this way.
Yes. Just a very minor one. Now, it can be argued that Gal Gai Gar, the King of Braves, is the most popular series in the Brave universe. It's probably easily the most mentioned one. And also here in the Western world, here in the United States, it's also the most accessible because you can go on to Amazon and get the DVD box sets. Although I just got season two or the second half of Galgaigar, and there was low stock. So if you're looking to get a Brave fix on DVD, better act fast because they're not going to last much longer. And for some reason, the anime's box sets run very expensive. I know the OVA for the DVDs, I have seen them go as high as $500. And to me, that's insane for a DVD box set. But, you know, Galgaigar is one of those series that that transcends the generations, I guess. It's the last anime series of Brave, and it's got a lot of great mecha in it, like Don alluded to earlier. The story is very formulaic at first. The first 25-26 episodes. Along about episode 27 is whenever it really starts changing, and the Zonders are being taken to task directly. Now, the main antagonists in the beginning of the series, I guess, is it throughout? I guess in the beginning of the series mainly is the Zonders, which is this alien race that comes in and is trying to attack Earth and its inhabitants by possessing the inhabitants with what's called Zonder metal and changing them into a creature that essentially is something that can only be beaten by the combined form of Galgaigar. Now, generally, the humans that are taken over by Zonder metals are people that have strong emotional issues or strong problems in their life. Like there's one guy that he was waiting in traffic and he was road raging, and one of the Zondarians, alien Zondarians, shows up and says, "Hey, let me help you with this problem," and basically turns him into a monster.
A giant steamroller, I believe.
Yeah. And the Zonder metal enhances the emotion the strong emotion that is coming from the human and turns that into a creature of some sort. And it's really formulaic at first, but then after the Zondarians are being taken to task, that's whenever it really gets going. And honestly, that's where I'm at right now in my watching, so I don't know much more beyond that. The mechas themselves, Galgaigar is also one of the most recognizable Braves with his stealth bomber on his back, the liner bullet train shoulders, and the double drill tank knees with the big lion in the middle. You know, like I alluded to earlier, Galgaigar himself takes a lot of design cues from previous Braves. Like I pointed out in the discussion about Might Gain, Galgaigar has the shoulder trains like Might Gain does. Galgaigar has the lion for the chest like King Exkizer, and there was another one that had like a jet on its back, didn't he? I guess a sort of Dagwanish.
Dagon had, was made up of a plane and trains, and the plane kind of made up the wings on the back.
Okay, yeah. So that's so he kind of takes a design cue from that, and then the double drill tank motif, which appears in a lot of Japanese.
It's in everything.
Yeah, seriously. I mean. I know last week, if you watched last week or listened last week, I held up the land bison, which is right here. He's got a double drill tank for his arms. So it's very common. Hang, you want to give us a little completion on the what I was saying about the series, and then talk a little bit more about the mecha? And
well, I like to say that I think what made Galgaiga so interesting and different from the rest of the other Yusha series is that all the Yushas, all series before Galgaiga, I would say, are real robots dressed up as super robots. Super robots dressed up as real robots. Sorry, let me say that. So it's all meant to be super robot, but because they wanted to keep it with vehicles, they were going to make it dressed up well as possible to make it like real robots. Galgaiga is where real robots are dressed up and made into super robots. Because the technology mentioned in Galgaiga is way different from anything else any of the other series have done. All the other series are basically, you know, it's either alien technology or if it's human technology, somehow they have this technology to make super sophisticated machinery. No, in Galgaiga, they explain every single thing. If there's something that's questionable, they will explain it. Like, oh, the super AIs took us 3 to 6 months to get working. Oh, all the technology for our transformation comes from alien tech, which came from Galleon. Oh, Galgaiga's design came from Galleon specs, which later you find out leads from Genesis Galgaiga. And stuff like that. Like, they explain everything, which is fantastic.
And the technology comes from this company called 3G, the Gutsy...
I only remember when they're in space what it's called.
Galaxy Guard.
Something, yeah, Gutsy Galaxy Guard, yes. Space is Galaxy Guard. And the symbol for it is basically 3 G's in a diamond formation. And it's also a very recognizable. I'd say in the Brave series, it's as easily recognizable as an Autobot or a Decepticon insignia. But it's probably the closest that we come to one on any of the Brave series toys, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, probably.
Mainly all the main mecha in... That fight alongside Galgaiga have the 3G symbol on them somewhere.
I think the only exception would be Mike Saunders.
He wasn't actually part of 3G. I mean, he fought with them, but he was designed in America, according to the anime. Now, you also had the symmetrical Dockers, which were also designed elsewhere in the world in the.
So the original two,
Shoryugen and
Shoryugen was designed by 3G, yes. And then Gekijin was using the design specs from Japan, but made in China to be more combat ready rather than rescue ready.
Now,
so to them, protecting humans was like ranked 3 or 4 or something like that in importance, whereas in Japan, it was like protecting humans were number 1 in importance.
Now, and it's also of note that another way that the Brave series kind of impacted later Transformer series. Now, the symmetrical Dockers, Gekiryugen and Choryugen, they basically were two super robots that merged together in halves. And for a lot of you animated fans, you may recognize that as Jetfire and Jetstorm, that same kind of transformation is essentially what we have. Now, there's also it in spirit with Energon Omega Supreme in the fact that the two train halves combined together down the middle. Now the two train halves didn't have individual robot forms, but the spirit was there, and I think that they actually got those design cues from the symmetrical Dockers in the Galgaigar series.
To be fair, Choryugen and Gekiryugen, the symmetrical docking sequence, it was taken from Ultra Raker in the first series in X-Kaiser. So that could have come from that as well. I'm assuming it came from X-Kaiser, and then anyone watching animated or working on animated probably took it from Galgaiga.
Mm-hmm.
Used to say.
Well, I mean, Galgaiga has transcended a lot of people. Now, there was even a spinoff or a splinter off of the Gal Gigar series in the Betterman storyline too. And it's basically took, what was it, some of the elements of the story from Gal Gigar, or some of the characters?
Betterman is a prequel to Gal Gigar. So everything that happens in Betterman happened before the Gal Gigar series. The main reason why it's connected is because of the design team, of the entire team that worked on Gal Gigar worked on Betterman, and the writer, after the fact, basically said it happened in the same universe. And no connection is really made until Final.
Oh, wow. So, let's see here. Let's see, I'm reading some things here. And it's also of note, too, that the fight sequences in Gal Gigar, now, I admit I've been watching it in subtitles, and it's a little – sometimes some things are lost in translation. But from what I gather, a lot of the fight scenes take place between dimensions. Where you have like the dividing driver opens up like a dimensional rift where they fight within this rift. And you've got, the pliers, the dimensional pliers. And it seems like it's, you know, in an effort to save the human race, they take it to the enemy and then fight on another dimensional plane. And it's kind of one of those things that's just really out there, but it's really cool. Now, am I right in that kind of assessment?
The idea is that because 3G is a government-based unit, I guess, even though it's secret, they don't want to have any damage to the city and to humans. Well, if you watch all the other Yusha series, the amount of damage they do to the city is just ridiculous. It's like Power Rangers, where how does the city rebuild itself before the next episode?
They really didn't fight in the city.
in Gal Gigar, to minimize the damage, they basically created
a giant screwdriver.
Yeah. Well, dividing driver was meant to build to create. So it creates an arresting field, as they called it, an arresting field, which is basically an opening in dimension of space so that they can do combat there. But because of the instability of the dimension of space, it closes within a very short period of time. Dimension Pliers was built for a totally different thing as well, but somehow got roped into being a way to get out of dimensional traps, etc., etc. There's just a lot of weird science in it, but because they take so much effort to explain it, we kind of just go with it.
Yeah. And one thing about Gal Gigar is that the audience affiliation character, Momaru,
actually he does something.
Yeah, he actually does. He actually is a significant plot point, and not just the audience affiliation character, because you'll find out he ties a lot into Galleon and 3G. So you've got some supporting characters in here that are fleshed out, and that you get an idea about them other than just being, you know, the secretary or, you know, computer programmer 6 or whatever the case may be.
And Gal Gigar has this wonderful thing about if a character's been introduced, some way they will get back into the series. Like when they go into space in the second half of the storyline, the people running the orbital base were actually villains that they had fought in the first half of the season.
And one of those villains just happened to have a very odd name, and I mentioned this on Twitter earlier today. Anybody like pizza? Anybody?
Pizza.
Pizza. Yeah, one of the main villains in the early half of the series, his name was Pizza.
and he's a cyborg 009 reference as well because of the giant nose and his love for the sky.
Mm-hmm. Now that's another thing too, is that the villains kind of had a design around them. You had their names escape me now.
Are we talking about the Zonda villains?
The Zonda villains, yeah. One of them kind of looked like a little sailor dude, and another one looked like a ship captain. And then you had Pizza that looked like, you know, he had this huge schnozola, kind of like Brett. And
yeah, Pizza was saying. <and then.
laughs> Brett's awake.
Yeah. And then
Pinchinon was the same,
yeah.
Because he was the J-Arc computer. And then there was Podones, which was the train guy, and Purimada was the chick.
Yes.
Was
now,
the wife.
King Jader actually was the combination of Pizza and Pinchinon, was he not?
Pinchinon was the computer of King Jader, like the ship.
Yeah.
And Pizza formed Jader, like, you know, how Guy uses Geiger.
Yeah.
And forms the head. I formed the head. No.
The J-Arc, I guess. Yeah. Now, King Jader, I have to say, is another one right up there with Dino Geist. Is one of my holy grails in the Brave series. I had him for a whopping 2 months, and then had to sell him to pay for my wedding, and I want him back badly, along with Dino Geist. And you know,
it's near dawn. All you have to do is wait till he's not home, and then ransack the house.
Yeah, yeah.
You won't even notice.
Well, it's just really, really awesome toy. He's, again, if you like G1 bricks, he's right there because, I mean, it's, his legs are fused together. I mean, he's such a brick. I mean, he's like broadside brick. But he's just awesome, and he's so, I mean, I'm talking almost generation Metroplex size here. You know, I mean, he is enormous. He is chrome goodness. He's just awesome, and
he's
yeah,
like slightly smaller than he's small, only slightly smaller than Fortress, isn't he?
He comes up to about Fortress Maximus's chest thereabouts. So yeah, he is very massive.
But very, I mean, he's also very hollow, so there's not a lot of weight there.
Now there has been some that's on the Japanese auctions that are closing rather cheaply, but by the time you add in shipping for him, because the box is so big, you're gonna pay. I mean, you might win a King Jader for $50 or $60 on a Japanese auction, and then try to ship him, and you're gonna pay over $100 easily just to ship it.
But now, one thing about you were talking about earlier about Gaigar on DVD, Media Blasters is the company that got the rights to it about the same time they were doing the Lion Voltron series.
Yeah.
The first DVD set is subtitled, and they also did a dub. And for those people that like dubs, Dan Green, who many of y'all know as Yugi, plays the voice of Captain Takata. I can never pronounce his name.
Kagata.
Thank you. Which is interesting hearing you.
Kagata? No, you're talking about the person in charge of 3G.
Yes.
Tiger.
Yeah, Tiger.
Because it's a pun on Tiger.
Right. And no,
the dude with the big poofy hair. And
the golf club. No, he has the golf club. He's the one who's always saying that we can fill up the percentage with bravery.
Yeah, so if you do like dubs, I personally think the dub for the first box set of Gaigar is on par with, say, Digimon Tamers or Digimon Frontier. I think it's an excellent dub. Sadly, they did not have the funds to dub the second box set, but it is subtitled. So I just wanted to mention that as well.
It's a really, really good series. I mean, I'm enjoying it, and I'm not typically one that enjoys a lot of anime, but, you know, it's if you like big robots fighting each other on a dimensional plane, there you go. This Gaigar is right down your alley. Go ahead.
I will say this. If you do look up the series, when you see Gaigar Final, please, as a word of warning, do not watch it before you watch the regular series.
I would agree with Don. It kind of it kind of breaks your heart.
Yeah, it does. It really – it's kind of – for me, it was kind of like, oh, God, I just watched this whole – it's just – it will.
I'm kind of glad you said that because before I got the second half of the series on DVD, I watched a little bit of Gargagar Final, which is available on YouTube, and I linked to it in the Facebook group a couple weeks ago. I watched the first three episodes.
Oh, episode two is an absolute heartbreak.
I actually cried.
Wait, why didn't you watch episode two before episode one?
No, I watched one and two.
Yeah, two is the battle in the rain, and it is the most heartbreaking scene in the entire series.
Oh, God.
But, you know...
It's not quite Wolf's Rain level of depressing, but it's close.
The thing is, though, is it doesn't spoil anything if you haven't seen the season. Until later on, I'm sure, because it didn't really spoil anything because I do know that about Genesic Galgaigar, and I also know that there was a toy of Galfigar, which is basically a replacement for a destroyed Galgaigar.
Yeah. It's just the emotional impact from Final, while gut wrenching, will be lost if you don't watch the series first.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a bad feeling, but it's something that you need to have you need the first series to watch Final. That's why it's like my game, you know.
But let's talk a little bit more about some of the other mechas, and then we will mention briefly Eldron. I know we talked a little bit about them last week, but I also want to highlight them a little bit more, and also Bongon. And then we'll wrap this episode up because we are going a bit long. There was a lot of information here, and I want to cover these and get it out there for fans. This is a really great mecha series, and tftalk.net, that's what we're all about, mainly Transformers, but also any kind of super robot mecha. So we may even talk about Macross and
that's a super robot.
Yeah. We may also talk about some other things down the road. So if you want to learn about some of that stuff, we'll talk about it. But Big Volfog is another key. We talked about the Ryugens earlier, the symmetrical dockers. Let's talk about Big Volfog, the police car, the bike.
He's
and
the fills the Ninja Quarter of the series.
Basically, from what Shadow Dagwon was for Dagwon, he is literally a covert agent, spy master for the 3G team.
And they explain how he has his ninja powers with the mirror coating and the holographic projectors. At least they brought it here compared to the rest of the Brave series, which is like, how are they doing that?
He's basically a robot James Bond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's very dedicated. He's also very dedicated to Mamoru as well, which is the main child component of the series.
Which is actually explained in the audio CDs. So they released four audio CDs, which explains in between stories of Galgaigar, and one of it talks about how the pre-3G was formed. So 3G, before it was 3G, was basically a Super Sentai kind of team. So there were five characters. And Tiger and Huma, the guy with the mohawk, was part of it. As well as the computer technician, I can't remember his name, Yusuke, Sasuke, something like that. His father was part of it. And basically they used his father's brain patterns to program Volvog. That's why Volvog and the computer technician are so close as well in the series when you watch it. Which is not explained in the series itself, obviously. But now, because of that, he has a very father and son deal with Mamoru as well, because he's technically a father.
Now, Volfog, the toy, the police car by itself, was a little bit disproportionate, and that's being... being generous.
Generous.
But whenever you combine him with the police motorcycle and helicopter, he actually was quite nice. And he was also one, though, that kind of suffered from his sound gimmick. I mean, he had the sound chip where you press the button, I believe, between the light bar, and he had, like, the sirens that would light up and or the light that would light up and the siren that would go. And
which in the show was used to shatter Zondar force shields and things such as that.
And he also had the handcuff lasso, I guess is what it was. What was it called? It was like a handcuff. Go ahead. I'm trying to.
I thought it was translated. I thought it was rocket grappler. But that may have been a bad translation.
Jet wire.
Okay, yeah, it was a bad translation.
Basically, it was a giant set of handcuffs that was on a rope, and that was really cool. And then you had the symmetrical dockers. Mike Sounders the 13th, which is actually a very goofy looking toy in one mode and a very cool looking toy in another. That's his cool looking mode.
Yeah.
Hang on, I'll switch him to his goofy one as you guys talk.
Hold him up again before you convert him because he was kind of small on the screen there. Say something.
So I've got him with his microphone. I've got the Buddy Buddy or the Studio 7 in a box, and as well as his guitar, because I thought this was the best way to show him.
Yeah, his actual mode of conveyance in the other form flips over, becomes a sound stage, because of course he's a rocker. He has a microphone and a guitar.
And if you look at his legs, he's got like the speakers.
He's like Gal Gaigar's version of Soundwave or Blaster. Now does his chest open up for like the discs?
Yeah, you get little cardboard discs from, and then you can put them inside the chest.
Rock on!
Yeah. Now playing disc X.
Yeah.
And then you just obliterate the world by accident.
Yeah. Yes. And actually, he was the last one built because he is part of he's Mike Sounders the 13th. There's 12 more just like him, but they're all more like generically colored. And they're a squadron. Mm. And when they work in harmony, they can create basically a sound wave that can literally shatter a planet.
Sound wave of doom.
Essentially.
Pretty much.
But, not wrong when I say that.
But yeah, it takes a little while to get from the goofy robot to cool robot. But once the cool robot side shows up, it definitely adds something to the show.
Yeah. Now the goofy robot, though, every time he comes on the screen, I kind of look around hoping nobody's looking because honestly,
and
it looks like something that's play school. It really does.
It reminds me, and I know a lot of people will probably want to kill me for this. It reminds me of a RoboForce toy figure, you know, with the big kind of, the arms that do this. And you know, I know RoboForce has a lot of fans. I don't mean anything by it. I'm just saying the design cues remind me of that. Mm-hmm. Send all email to.
I like what Bass Ackward says in the Facebook group. Said Mamaru is a gang member, flashing all those gang signs in the series.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds right.
Because he just fly like that, you know.
And he literally flies.
Okay,
if you can see it on the on YouTube.
That's not a mistransformation, folks.
That is what he looks like.
That is the way the Japanese saw us Americans in the show would build a robot.
Yeah.
It's kind of.
And if you notice, his head is where his crotch should be.
Yeah. System change, please.
So it's sort of like the way they saw the Maxtra Gundam being a surfboarding, boxing,
Cowboy Gundam in G.
Yeah. Now, you had Big Volfog, you had the Symmetrical Dockers, you had Gal Gygar, you had Mike Sounders, and you also had Goldie Marg. Goldie Marg was was from the Marg tank that would transform into a sidekick robot for Gal Gygar, but he also would become the Marg hand, which basically was an oversized punching fist for Gal Gygar. And then the tank's cannon could come off, unfold, and become a giant hammer. And
literally a giant squeaky hammer. Although in the show it wasn't a squeaky hammer, but the toy
is a squeaky hammer.
Yeah, it was a hammer. Now, but the reason it was like that is because it had, in tank mode, you had these little foam missiles that would fit over it, and if you squeezed it, it would shoot them off.
Yeah, it was the same foam missiles that Gun Kid uses. Let me see if I have a missile loaded in here. I don't. But if you can tell, it's just like a Nerf-style missile, and yeah. it's just air power. It was the same on both.
Yeah. Now, he was really cool. In the DX Gal Gygar, you could connect him to it, but you had to position him a certain way or else the toy would, like, fall over.
It was not a well-balanced toy.
Not a well-balanced, but honestly, I liked it, though. I mean, it's, like, oversized. It's, like, in your face and looked really powerful.
Yeah. If you look at it over there, I'm using the two symmetrical dockers to hold him up so he doesn't fall over by accident.
That's pretty awesome.
They're like hugging him going, don't fall over.
But yeah, one thing you'll notice about Gal Gygar, all the weapons are either basically hand-to-hand combat or tool-based. Hammers, pliers, screwdrivers, erasers. Mm-hmm. Because the symmetrical dockers have a weapon that can negate energy attacks and send it out into the atmosphere. So it's all based on tools, not, you know, giant laser cannons of a sort.
Yeah. Let's see here. There was, I believe that's it, isn't there? Is that all the main mecha? Now, there were some cartoon-only, anime-only, like the female symmetrical dockers.
Yeah. Tenugen, which I was hoping we would actually get at least a Super Robot Chidoken, if not a Solid Chidoken version. But
it's still possible. You never know. They did release like a really cheap plastic version of her at one point, but that was about it, I think. Yeah.
Now there was also different versions of Gal Gygar, and you want to explain the difference between Gal Gygar, Gal Fygar, and Genesic Gal Gygar.
Okay, so Gal Gygar was the first Earth-built mechanoid based on the plans they got from Galleon.
Yeah.
And then, there's three different versions of Gal Gygar. There's Gal Gygar, where when you merge, you'll see orange colors on the train and in the interiors. When he gets powered up, it becomes green in color instead, just to show that he's powered up. When he goes into space, he gets Stealth Gal 2, which gives him more firepower and more defensive power, which is only meant for space, though. A lot of problems on Earth. So that's Gal Gygar himself. Gal Fygar was when they lose Galleon at the end of the series. They needed to build a new core mecha. And so they used over technology and created Phantom Gal. And so created Fygar, because they could now merge with a new version of Guy. Spoilers. Anyway, so Gal Fygar himself was basically original Gal Gygar with the ability to use powered up Gal Gygar's weaponry. So it was really advanced, was really good. Genesix Gal Gygar is the real Gal Gygar, what Gal Gygar should have been, but wasn't because they were using human technology. So if everything had gone to plan, the whole of Gal Gygar, the series, would have been with Genesic Gal Gygar running Rampage on Zonda.
Genesic Gal Gygar is probably as close to Super Robot style Predaking as you're going to get.
Yes. Basically, it was like a griffin, a lion, Like dolphins, I guess, or porpoises.
There was a dolphin. There was a dolphin. There was some weird. There was a mole because of the drill.
Yeah.
On, let me just double check.
So basically, what was vehicles in the original Galgaigar became all animals. Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Doran, I just put. I'm not sure if you can link to it in the chat. I just put a picture, Confluence of Collection DX, that showed the super robot. The smaller Super Robot Chogokin version of Genesect Galgaigar.
Yeah, hold on. I'll share that here in a second. We need to.
It's interesting also to note that while Genesect is like the final Galgaigar, it's actually shorter than the other Galgaigas.
Yeah. Now, there's Genesect Galgaigar, and he yes has a red flame mane, which I don't get that.
It's the same logic as Guy's hair. That's where the technology. That's where Guy's hair's technology comes from. How he adds energy straight to him for his super mode.
Okay.
But yeah, in alien technology, obviously.
Obviously. But yeah, he's kind of cool. I like the vehicles better, but I dig this because it's an all animal motif. Now, I think that'll do it for Galgaigar. We've kind of beat it up and everything. We talked about a lot about stuff, and I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that we've missed. But you know, if you are a new fan of the Brave Yusha Brave series and would like to know more information, join us on tftalk.net's forums. And talk about them on there. I have dedicated forums set up just for the Yusha Brave series and the Eldoran series. Let's talk a little bit about Eldoran, and then we will wrap it up. Eldoran, Hang, you want to explain what Eldoran was? Now, it was not Yusha Brave, but it was similar.
Well, Eldoran could be considered the bastard cousin or something like that of Yusha, in the sense that they'd gone, let's aim to children and have the children be the main characters piloting the robots and everything. So there are three series. There was Zettai Muteki Raijino, Genki Bakuhatsu, Gambaruo, and then I can't remember what Gosaurus was. Yeah, I can't remember what the third one Gosaurus was. And they had a one-off special called Kansen Shodi Dangai-O. Basically, the series is a bunch of... Like, an alien comes to Earth fighting off the villains. It's always the same alien, Alderaan, which is why it's called the Alderaan series. It's always the same alien. And every time he comes, he picks a school and then picks a class in a school and gives them the power to use special mecha to fight and defend the planet. In the case of Gosaurus, their school transforms into the mecha. That's a whole different story on its own. Mm-hmm. I would say that of the three, I've only watched two of them. I've never watched Gambaruo, which is the middle one, although it looks really cool. I've never actually watched it. I've watched Raijino and I've watched Gosaurus, and they both are really good. Like, who ever thought that an anime about school kids fighting... Like an entire class of school kids fighting to save the world is good.
It should be said that the Eldoran series is actually aimed at a much younger demographic too.
Way younger.
But the thing is that the toys actually were quite cool. I honestly would not mind having Region O or Gosaur myself. But those toys, from what I gather and what I have seen, go for very, very expensive amounts of money.
Like, I have a got Raijino, and I got him really cheap. I got him for like under 100 because he was loose but complete. So I had everything, but he was loose. I had to figure out how to merge him, though. That was hilarious trying to figure it out. But he's a great figure. He's massive. I wish I had him here to show you, but it's in Singapore at the moment, so unfortunately no. But from what I've heard, while he is big, King Gosaurus, which is the final form for the Gosaurus series, is like a good head and shoulders taller than him.
Wow.
So imagine that Raijino is close to... Oh, no, it's actually taller than then Mike Gein, perfect mode, and then think something larger than that.
So you're something that would have TFC Hercules by over a head and shoulder.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's a gigantic toy.
But the difference, of course, is that there's no die-cast in them. It's all plastic. There's not any bits of metal because it's aimed towards younger kids. So those toys are really light. There's a lot of chrome. Don't get me wrong. There's chrome on Raijin Up the Wazoo. But
well, it's funny, too. Doesn't Raijin have like that unicorn like horn? Isn't it like sharp?
No. It's plastic and it's really thick. Okay. But his... Oh, no, the Revival version had it metal. My wife suddenly appears. The Revival version has it with metal, and I guess the Lion had a lot of die-cast in it, but that's the only proof of die-cast in the whole series. Mm-hmm. I think that was the last bit of die-cast.
Now, Bon-Gon. Bon-Gon was actually Brave. He was Yusha, but he did not appear in an anime. Is that correct?
That it was planned, they were going to do it, but then Sunrise. Oh no, I think Takara said we weren't making any more toys, and so they were. I think they were moving back towards Transformers at this point because of the success of Beast Wars in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So, and really, if you look at Bangan's concept, there's nothing new to it. In fact, it goes back to the old young kid with Mecha in a super robot environment, like, you know, everything that Gal Geiger had done, they've basically gone back to rudimentary.
The Bon-Gon character design looks like it was heavily or it heavily influenced the Transformers Go combiner. I can't remember which one it was. It was the one that was mainly blue. But it had, to me, it had a very Bon-Gon-ish look. I don't remember what it is right off the top of my head, or I'd look it up. But it's one of the those unique Japanese mold Transformer Go characters that came out like last winter.
The jet, the blue car, and the red.
Yeah. I can't remember what that one was called.
Are you thinking of the Ninja Team or the Samurai Team?
It might be the Samurai Team.
Okay. I don't have those figures. Dawn, do something useful. Didn't I help you get them at BotCon last year?
Yeah. Which ones now?
The Samurai Team.
Sorry, hang on. I was trying to find it.
Okay. I have a screen share here.
I do. I have them, but they're in a box somewhere.
Okay. This guy here.
Yeah, that's
the
Ninja Team.
Yeah, that's the Ninja Soul. Team. Yeah, and to me,
this the Ninja Team. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, he has a very Bon-Gon-ish look to me.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I can see that with the lion head and everything. Yeah. Oh, dragon head. Sorry. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it's just with the set with Go. I got the first set of Samurai, and as much as I love Brave, it just didn't do anything for me once I got them combined. So I didn't buy any other ones.
Oh, they look horrible combined. I'm looking at photos, and they look better individually than combined. It's a real shame because they have such a good concept going for them.
I mean, they have very Brave-ish look, but they didn't pull it off very well in toy form.
No.
Flat photo.
Yeah. But Bon-Gon never actually had a toy, did he?
Okay, so
aside from maybe a Chogokin or something.
So there was a figure that came out with the game, with the Brave Saga game, which is just Bagan on his own. But I think CM Toys, give me a quick second, I'll see if I can't find the image and maybe you can share it, released a fully transformable Bangan, like the super mode, so with his partner as well. I'm going to look for it now. Give me a second.
Now,
I hear this. And you feel free to like share it.
All right.
it is incredibly expensive, but it's fully transformable. But the main robots are tiny. They're like MicroMaster size before they merge into the giant robots, which are maybe about just over a deluxe size robot, and combined together, supposedly from reviews I've read, very, very unstable.
Now,
so sort of like the Kaiser and X-Kaiser that they did the masterpiece reissue for X-Kaiser.
Except not as much Shogokin in it, supposedly.
Oh, okay.
I think that's as much as I can zoom it in here.
It's 40,000 yen, so if you want it, hurry now before it gets gone.
No, this has been sitting there for like 6 months now. It hasn't moved.
$400 for that?
Ish. I think Bagan
was figuring shipping too.
Now Bagan was good. It was interesting in the game anyway. Was that Ban himself, the little car was actually a toy, and when the kid threw him out, so it's like you know, he threw him out at the enemy and then enlarged him with his wristwatch.
Huh. So then, now, is he combine the combination of all these things right here, or?
Okay, so, yeah. So, the top three, so the car, the trailer, and the dragon form Bagan. Sorry, the trailer transforms into the dragon anyway. And then the bottom three, the red, form into Mark Spirion, and they both merge together to form Great Bangan, and it does all of that.
It's kind of a shame that series never actually happened. I mean, it looks really awesome.
Yeah. I just that much, you know, or something that small. Yeah.
The video I posted on the Facebook page, the one that I did, has quite a bit of footage from. I mean, has a little bit of footage from the game, just because I decided I'd use it.
And it is awesome. I did share that on tftalk.net. So if anybody wants to check that out, it's on tftalk.net and also on YouTube. Brett, you or Bryce, you have any comments on Brave? Any thoughts? Anything that you've learned? Or
it's tempting, but
yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking. There was a bunch of them that I liked and everything.
It's another rabbit hole.
It's a route I want to go down.
It's a rabbit hole. If you love G1, it just takes one or two of these things to like. Well, this is just like, well.
Yeah, and that's exactly what wrote me in initially too. Is that it was something that was G1 like, and it was actually made by Takara, and it just sucked me in. You know, I'm like, wow. I mean, this is, it's like a whole new line for me. You know, and it is, and you know, there's not a whole lot of them out. I mean, there is, but there's not. And the collector fan base for Brave is very niche. You don't see a whole lot of them, especially here in the States. I mean, you got a few people that may know who they are and a little bit about the characters, but the bulk of people are, like I said, a lot like me, like the way I was, the way I described at the beginning of the show. You know, I'd heard about Brave, but you could have grown a field where I grew my screws. I'm not going to throw that F word out there, but I didn't care about Brave, but until I actually got a hold of one. And you know, if you don't want to go down that rabbit trail, don't get a hold of one. But the moment you get a hold of one, you're going to want them, and that's a given. But I believe we've went a little bit long tonight, but I think there's a lot of great information here, and we hope that you've enjoyed this little diversion onto the inspirational, I guess, successor of Transformers, not necessarily successor, but cousin of Transformers. There's a lot of Transformer molds used here, a lot of design cues that Transformers used in later lines, and even up to today. The Brave toy line is a historical, important toy line that is just as tied to Transformers as Diaclone and Microman, in my opinion, because there's a lot of and I'm talking like roots for today's modern toys. Some of them come from the Brave series, and don't dismiss it. Don't appreciate it. That's the one thing that we want people to come away from these two episodes of TFYLP, where we've focused on the Brave line. We hope that you've come to have a new appreciation for this great toy line, and learn a lot about it. There's a lot here. I mean, there's over 400 episodes of anime and hundreds of toys that are very G1-esque to choose from. And it's just great stuff. And if you like really big toys, there's some Braves like Hane was mentioning a while ago. Some of them can get quite large when you combine them together, and they are astonishingly big. I don't think there are any Transformers today, aside from the single Transformers like Generations Metroplex or G1 Fortress Maximus, that can rival the size of some of these combined Braves. So, you know, if you're going to pay good money for some of these Braves, some of them is worth it because of simply the size of some of these toys. Now, that's not to say that all of them are huge. There are some that's quite small. I mean, you know, Avenger is not big, you know, but it's the sum of the parts. And it's really, really interesting line. Anybody else have anything they want to mention before we close about Yusha?
You know, I reckon some of it's still aged quite well. There's some series. I would say start with Fightbird. If you want to skip Dagon, I guess that's okay. I guess not all of it is available in that sense, or subbed in English. I watch a lot of my stuff raw, so I'm not actually 100% sure. I'm sorry. But I would say that if you have a chance and you don't think it's utterly cringeworthy, and you do enjoy stuff like Car Robots or Robots in Disguise, I would say go for
the Armada trilogy. Yeah.
No, even the Armada trilogy with the kids and everything. As long as you don't mind having the children there all the time, I reckon you really, really enjoy the Yusha series as a whole.
And as far as the toys go, I mean, you cannot. I mean, it's like me. I haven't watched 98% of the anime that's out there for Brave. And I have been won over 100% by the toys, simply because of their design aspect and their overall looks. I mean, they're just flipping gorgeous. I mean, look at all this. Look at this. It's beautiful. I believe that'll wrap us up this week. We thank you for joining us on TFYLP. We'll resume our normal Transformers discussions next week. Every now and then we'll kind of go off on some of these tangents, and because it's related and relevant to Transformers.
GoBots.
Yeah, we've actually had GoBot episodes. Brett and Plasticon did an awesome episode about 6 months ago on GoBots. But we may revisit GoBots again. I mean, it's very big.
Shogun Warriors. We should totally do Shogun Warriors.
I totally support that. I mean, it is
why?
Nipple missiles.
Nope. You ready? You ready? Titsicles.
We seriously need a drum set, like, just to hit every time a joke like this comes out.
Yeah. I do have the Price is Right horn, dude, but the fail horn.
But yes, I wouldn't mind doing a Shogun Warrior. Wouldn't mind doing a show on that.
Well, you know, with Gentleman's Giant doing the jumbo figures now, they may get around to re-releasing those.
Yeah, but they won't be as good. I mean,
what jumbo figures? Are we talking about the
Yeah, they did different ones, but I mean, do you hear that? That was a door.
Wow.
I mean, they are.
You'll put your eye out, kid.
Oh, yeah.
That's why toys like this don't get made anymore.
Yeah. But, well, you know, you know, that's what the website tftalk.net, that's my vision for this website, is to be mainly Super Robot Mecha focused. I mean, Transformers first and foremost, because that's why we're here. But, you know, a lot of Transformer fans like me and like King and Don, we cross over into that Brave territory because, you know, it's related to Transformers. It's similar, and it's something that we enjoy. Brett, he loves the Shogun Warriors, and
you know, just about anything else.
Yeah, and it's one of those rabbit trails that he's followed. So, you know, that's what we want to cover on TFTalk.net, and we're going to have a lot more of that stuff. Just look for that, and I think that'll do it. Brycey, thanks. Don, Hang, Brett, thank you all for joining us. And Plasticon, sorry your internet crapped out. I'm sure you had a lot of great stuff. But
He'll live.
He'll be back. He'll be back next week, I'm sure. But that'll do it for this episode of Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. I am Weird Wolf. We'll see you next time.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.